Boys Lunch.
Here we go.
And we're back. It is summer.
Boys Lunch, summer edition.
We're coming to you live from a new location.
Yeah, I was called it the dungeon. It's not a great name for it, but yeah, Joey, we're in your basement.
We have recorded in a lot of different places.
That's true.
Actually, not that many.
Well, your parents' basement.
My parents' basement, your basement, and now my new house's basement.
Yeah.
Plus the classroom.
That's true.
So this is exciting. It is summer. We were able to get together. It is a little bit into June here. We were able to kind of work something out. He is over.
Yeah, I'm excited to, I guess we're excited to bring you some episodes over the summer. As always, you can contact us at boyslunch1@gmail.com. You can always follow us on Instagram on a probably non-existent Instagram page, Casey Get Your Life Together, Boys Lunch Podcast. But if I could paint you a picture here, some beautiful bookshelves. looks like a lot of Cubs and U of I memorabilia, Bears.
That's right.
I mean, this man clearly loves sports. My eye is immediately drawn to the 12-inch Michael Jordan Toon Squad
Space Jam replica.
Space Jam replica.
Yeah.
His airness is just looking so good on top of that bookshelf.
You're not going to mention the Mark Pryor bobblehead?
No, I wasn't.
Circa 2003.
But I'm gonna throw one over for my dad here. This is a Kellogg's Terry Labonte. Die cast card.
Is it Terry or Bobby? I don't know.
That's Terry.
Bobby. Okay, you would know better.
Bobby was in the. Oh, I could almost pull this off. It's the Interstate Battery was
gross.
Was Bobby. Terry was always in the Kellogg's. Dad, you know exactly what I'm talking about with this red, gold, and green. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Little die cast car.
Still looking for that Kyle Petty mellow yellow. Jason Hedda, if you're listening, ship it to me. Name your price.
Yeah. This is a room that Sella kind of gave to me, which thank you very much. Put some sports stuff up, some just kind of all of like random stuff that she doesn't want people to see.
Is that you mean she doesn't want them to see the five tentacle lamp that every college dorm has?
Hey, look straight up though.
Oh,
if I don't have that, you have a like blinding neon light from a classroom. Hi, it's good to see you though.
Great to see your
We're
face.
We're, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks into summer?
I think just 2 weeks, right?
Okay, yeah, sorry.
It seemed like an eternity for you.
Things that have been happening. Memorial Day, did you have a good weekend?
Did have a good weekend. Went to the Indy 500.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, fortunate to have tickets.
Thoughts, concerns?
Always a good time. Highly recommend, if you have a friend who goes all the time, go with them. It is a great experience. I don't know if I would, like, go just myself or like bring somebody.
But it doesn't seem like a thing you go to by yourself.
Yeah. But he's set up with all of the like the equipment and the radios and the headsets, and like it is really fun. I enjoy it.
Wait, he does all that?
Yeah. Oh yeah. He programs in all of like the different car radios and stuff. What? No, he has his sight. No, I'm just no, actually we're sitting.
Can you see the race at all?
Yeah. So the way where that we were sitting or where we were sitting, you can see all the way down the front stretch.
He does say he was blind.
You can see all the way down the front stretch, and then you can see into turn one and partially into turn two. So they're actually
sick.
Really nice. I mean, it is.
You got turn one?
I hate you so much.
That's fun though.
I should probably put it out there. I've probably been to like between Indy and NASCAR races, I've probably been to close to 20 total.
Who was the winner?
Was Ericsson. He is a...
Ericsson.
Marcus Ericsson, yes. Driving the
I hope
Husky chocolate Indy car.
I hope someone fact checks that.
No, it is Marcus Ericsson, former F1 driver.
Nice.
For those people who care. And that's got to be at least one.
Have you guys been having a nice little... been getting into a rhythm for summer?
Yeah, I would say so.
Join some family time.
Yeah, and the weather's been nice, so we've been able to get them out a ton.
I feel like it's different now that they're a little bit older. Like,
yes,
we can do more with them, like expect more out of them.
Right. It's I don't know, it's less exhausting and also less demanding on us to like get out of the house.
Yeah.
And then like they can play together and they can play more independently, so yeah. It is just yeah, we've really enjoyed it. And then we had some friends come into town. I guess Mary's sister Anne had some friends come into town. We've known them. I met them a couple times before, and they have five girls that they brought with them.
Oh, so nice.
The girls have had plenty of friends to play with the last few days. So
it's easier just to like even let them play outside. It's less stressful.
Yeah, like, that's
they're able to, like, I don't know.
I feel bad, but it's like, hey, fun. Dad, we go play in the backyard. And they're at the age now where I could be like, yes, go play on the swing set. And I can kind of pay attention from the house.
I was thinking they're actually starting to like things that I like. Like, sure, I'll play with cars. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I'll play Paw Patrol, whatever you want to play. But, like, eventually it gets a little tired. But now that they're, like, getting into sports, it's like, yeah, I'll shoot hoops again.
Yeah. Like, I'll dunk on you all day. We finally
put up a basketball hoop that my mother-in-law gave us 2 Christmases ago. And part of it's, like, just moving. We didn't really have a good place to put it in our old house, and now it's, like, perfect. But I think we've been putting in, like, an hour a day of just shooting hoops in the driveway or more.
That's awesome.
But most of it's because I'm like, you guys, like, I don't know, you want to go back out and, like, shoot more?
I can't help but notice that you've got it at a height that seems like one that you could dunk on.
It was
I'm not saying it's not regulation.
It's not. It's not regulation, but it's so my six-year-old can reach the hoop. But I have been dunking on it. They do think that I'm pretty good.
Yeah, I can't wait till his world is absolutely shattered.
I know. I got to enjoy this because, like, now they're like, Dad, you're like Michael Jordan. I'm doing, like, the serve it up, like, throw it off the backboard and catching and dunking. It is hurting my joints a lot, but I'm winning a lot of cool points.
Oh, man.
I do feel like the other night when we met Summer Mike.
Summer Mike?
Well, we were just with some friends, and one of the guys just said, he was like, yeah, I'm Summer Mike now. Like, I feel like I'm fitting into, like, Summer Joey.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're getting into a groove of Summer Paul?
Yeah. No, I would agree with that. It's
you're reading a little bit more. You're relaxed a little bit more. You're less anxious.
I'm taking some naps. Yeah, it is. It really is. As far as the life of a teacher, yeah, there is a certain kind of, like, groove that you
There's
find.
There's a new me.
Yeah.
A different me.
And it's far enough away from, like, mid-July where it's like you start getting emails from school.
Yeah.
Well, I even got an email today. It was like, hey, you're going to be teaching this next year. And I was like, that is so far away.
Cool. Can't wait. I've been enjoying Summer Joey, though. It's been fun.
Yeah. It's a good look on you.
Yeah. Our last podcast from, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago has been good, like, food for thought for me. Like, mm-hmm. the things that you brought. Because I feel like mostly every day I've been able to kind of reflect on just more of, like, just not being so certain about, like, this is how I'm going to spend my day today.
Yeah.
Like, so I think that's really helped. I think us just kind of talking that out and fleshing that out. It's been a good summer where I've been, like, stop making so many plans for today. Just let today come to you as it is.
Yeah, I've been trying to consciously say yes more to Zaylee because she's just got 1,000 requests a day. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, that would be more exhausting for me, but
let's And they're it. Like starting to remember things more and how we treat them and how we speak to them.
Dad, you said, you promised. Oh, dang it. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. But it's been good.
My dad hasn't got off the couch in weeks.
Exactly. Like, that is a good challenge, mm-hmm. though, to not be that, like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Or Sienna had a moment where I got frustrated with her because she, for, like, the 12th time, just essentially sprayed toothpaste all over because she wants to do everything independently.
Yeah.
So she wants to put toothpaste on. I was, like, visibly frustrated, and she started crying. And then the next day she's like, you were kind of mad, Dad.
Yeah.
But I want to try again, you know, type of thing. Yeah. I was like, absolutely, honey. Yeah. Sorry that I got upset.
It is. Yeah. When you're, like, 6-year-old or your 3-year-old is, like, speaking truth to you.
Yeah.
But, like, helping you, like, process and work through something, it's like, yeah, you're right. It's sometimes, like, you need to
I gotta stop
that.
Cutting corners.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Well, I mean, we're going back to back today, so.
Yeah, we are planning to record 2. I do have some other things I might bring up for a little bit of banter for episode 2.
Let's save it. Let's save it.
But something I wanted to talk about today that I think was kind of a continuation and a just a little capstone of last episode,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of this process of us even just reflecting and coming up with ideas. And it's been kind of building on these different themes of a Christian worldview, a Christian mindset, but more specifically, like, a Christian imagination, where your prayer is, like, you're bringing things. Maybe in your organized prayer, you're bringing things to God that it's happening in your day and you're thinking about them. But also, like, as you experience your day, you're allowing the world and the things that happen around you to inspire you and kind of move you in some way. And it kind of fits in with your theme of like receptivity. Like, when I'm going through my day and when things are happening, when I'm experiencing something and I'm doing stuff with my kids or I'm outside working in the yard, like, there's things that move me and make me think of things and how it relates to my life. And more importantly, like, my spiritual life and my soul. I think that's the process of this Christian imagination. When you're able to kind of understand the bigger narrative and how things affect you, you're able to pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
In a way that's not just like, I prayed the Gospel of John today. Like, I prayed through the way I'm living my life and the way that I'm viewing my life.
Yeah. And I think also to go back to your observation of lenses, like you said, the worldview, I think when it becomes almost second nature that this is kind of how I see the world, how I receive it, how I interact with it, and my sensitivity to the things within it, and how ready I am to bring this to prayer, it becomes like, I don't know, there's just a certain light about the day, even the troubles and the struggles. And when we talk about like offering up these sacrifices, right, that's part of that is just like, it's second nature to understand that like suffering is a part of it. And like how we react to that also comes about through our understanding of the purpose of suffering and how we view the world in our relation to it. So like all of these things are interconnected. And so, yeah, I think it's something beautiful to kind of be observed, but a part of life that, yeah, brings great beauty when you're aware of.
And helps, like, I think helps fill you during maybe times of your day that you're not used to being filled or like able to, like, I think just even the ability to experience beauty and like appreciate beauty happens when you're like processing the world in that way.
Yeah. And to rest with it, I think, like obviously you and I probably have organized prayer time, right? Like mine is an obnoxious time in the morning, but like, it doesn't mean it's like, I clock out then, mm-hmm. and then it's like, all right, I'll see you at my exam and when I do night prayer at night, or I'll see you next morning. Right. There's something beautiful. And I think particularly in the summer, I've been inspired by this as well, is trying to take those moments and we'll talk about this in a little bit, like as I'm watching my kids or if we're going for a walk, like there's just like so many opportunities to rest with God and his goodness in creation. I don't want to go too hippie here, but just in like the idea that like, right, that we are here, right, that we exist, that I have so many great things. yeah, because
I think even
because Father God is great, you know.
Even when you came over, like the first thing I wanted to show you was, well, first of all, my grass patch, which,
dude, I was saving that for grass watch
tomorrow. I do need to mow.
Yeah,
that's okay. But the first thing I want to show you was my rose garden, because like when we've been shooting hoops for like an hour, what I'll normally do is just kind of go over to the side and just look at these roses and honestly just like stare at them. Like,
it's a beautiful space.
There's something about, I don't know, like not even that I did much. Like I helped kind of prune them, but like co-creating, and I'm doing air quotes right now, and like being a part of this process of this beauty that comes forth and brings joy and like fills you, even though it's just a plant.
Right.
But there's something like sacramental and physical to that like inspires and moves you.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Those are like the little things. Do you want me to get to the next part or do you have something?
No, I think that's good.
As we've both been reading Lord of the Rings, again, I don't want to do too much, but what people will talk about, especially when they comment on Tolkien and the way that he describes like the world in Middle Earth and just everything around that he's creating, is that it is very sacramental. That like everything has this outward meaning to it that is revealing a deeper inward reality. Mm-hmm. That everything has this being to it, where maybe we, not like in a pantheistic way, like maybe in our world we wouldn't say like the trees have feelings and are God,
right?
But like the way that he describes his world is like everything has kind of being and purpose. Like the trees do have a big part, and you'll see like later on, I don't know where you're at, but even Sauron, he casts this like shadow over the earth, and the shadow is like this physical actual sign of the armies of orcs and men that are coming to fight. So like there's this like physical presence to the world, and it all has this sacramental meaning to it. And the way bread, you've gotten to the way bread maybe. Yeah. Okay. the hands of the king are the hands of a healer.
Right.
Oh, but it's all these sacramental things that we've talked about before, how physical things are necessary, right? Confession, you hear things, you say things, it's necessary. Eucharist, like you actually receive God into your body, like your bodies matter. I was even thinking yesterday when I took a shower, like showers are so cleansing for us, I guess, because like literally you're cleaning yourself, but like even just the way that our body's able to physically kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it's like, especially
kind of recollection. It's almost a cleansing of your mind. Mm-hmm. You're able to kind of like,
Also
get refreshed.
Several times when like, I don't know, every time I'm sick, for like a long period of time, or I've had some sort of illness. Like there's something about like a shower. I just need a shower and I know I'll feel better, mm-hmm. because there is, yeah, this sort of like cleansing process, both mentally, but also physically in many sense.
But the physical things around us in our world, they can call us to remind us of the story that we're in.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like what we were talking about last week, like the bigger picture of things that we're in and being receptive to where we lie in the story. In seeing these small little things within our world that can inspire us. That's what I was kind of getting at the beginning. Everything does have a meaning to us, or can inspire us, and our imagination can use that to kind of pray and come up with things. And two of the things that have been kind of on my heart, I guess, the last few months, just kind of an example of this. One of them can go kind of quick, but I use it at our SOV retreat and our senior retreat. It was like a theme that I was thinking on, because I was doing a lot of cleaning and organizing in my parents' house, a lot of my old stuff, and in my own house. And I kept coming across like old, like trophies that I won.
Yeah.
Beautiful stuff.
Beautiful.
Have you done this yet? Or like you've probably done this already.
Yeah.
Right. And you go through and like, was it hard for you to think about, should I keep this or should I not?
Yeah. I'm a lot less sentimental, but there was something like what I'm going through, and yeah, my chess trophies, right? Like this second grade, third place trophy at Bent Elementary,
you know, which was very important to you at the time.
Yeah, probably. Absolutely.
Like that meant so much when you got a second place ribbon at a track meet.
Yeah.
But oh my gosh, how like silly is that now? Like, do I really need to keep this? But I was just like, one of the things I was thinking of is it was just a tangible thing when I looked at some of these things in my life that I worked very hard for, whether it's academics, sports, social life, and you work so hard and you think it's going to fulfill you. And then like, you understand, like once you get it, you move on so fast and it wasn't that great. Mm-hmm. Although like some of the buildup can be great and it can be good itself. Mm-hmm. And then you enjoy it in the right amount and you move on. But just like this theme of like, we make it the end goal of our life. And then we're like easily just let down. But that was like something that I was able to reflect on as I was like literally just going through my own life and seeing like, wow, I spent so much of my effort trying to do that. In the end, it didn't really matter that much.
Yeah.
I cared too much, or I was too anxious about this, or I was too worried about that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it was a good reflection on just like where I am now.
Yeah. And I think it can be done well. This keeping and holding on to these keepsakes as a way of, like you said, kind of painting this story of how I became who I was, reminding us of these moments of like, yeah, like sure, you hold on to this Knockers trophy that you have for playing football.
I earned that gold plaque trophy.
It's not like you have to throw it away because it doesn't matter, because it was a part of your life and how it forms. I think my wife does a much better job than I do of like holding on to these keepsakes that are important. And it's like, yeah, like value wise, like do they hold much? Probably not. But I love the way that she is able to like, you know, it's very much who she was at this moment in her life and how that formed her. It's like, yeah, maybe she looks at some of these as like ridiculous and laughs, like her collection of boy band stuff, right? Like some of the stuff we didn't keep, but like, I don't know. I just loved when she would go through and look through those things, because you can kind of see it, her working through that and the beauty that's in that. Where me, I'm just like, I don't have a lot of that stuff. I'm just not, I was never,
when you did that.
But I think there's stuff that I missed out on by not having kind of like a healthy look at that.
But I think like, that's like a simple chore of my life that I was able to kind of use and maybe reflect on more of like my own life, like quit trying to build up these things on earth that you think are going to make you happy. Yeah. The new house isn't going to make you completely happy. Like enjoy it for what it is. You know what I mean? Like all these different searches, if you want to get a promotion at your job, whatever, you want to get into this program, that's all great and it will all help you, but to remember the end goal. And it was a simple task of just doing chores and cleaning and organizing, viewed through this Christian imagination and inspiration that you take to prayer, can help teach you something.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The other one, and I think you'll be able to kind of relate to this, is working in the yard. Have you enjoyed it more as you've gotten older? You've had your own yard?
Absolutely. And I see the way Scott Vogel, his eyes, you know, just kind of sparkle when he speaks about mowing his yard.
As he's probably mowing his yard right now. As he's listening to this. But this was something that happened maybe a week or two ago. It's our first time in this new yard, and they did a really great job, the previous owners, of planting a great garden. Like, and there's just a lot of upkeep that maybe I didn't have my old yard. And I cut some corners in the fall. So a few more trees. I didn't clean up all the leaves. So like some of it just got like stuck in areas underneath bushes. And I don't know, just like some little things that you might need to clean. The easiest thing to make your lawn look good is to do what? Probably just mow it.
Yeah, mow it.
That's a quick fix, and it makes it look sweet, especially if your neighbor's lawn isn't mowed, which like mine is the one that's not mowed right now, so both my neighbor's yards look good. But like it drastically changes your yard and how like your house looks and how it's presented, right?
Yeah, Mary was just talking about it. I was like, something about mowing the yard, just I love it.
Yeah.
It makes me feel good.
And not only like is it, I think it's a good like healthy thing to do, yeah. Just like showering, like it right. kind of clear your mind, and it's like, I don't know, there's something soothing about it.
Yes, but Josh like, Vogel, keep showering.
Exactly, seriously. but it just like, it makes it a lot more presentable, mm-hmm. especially for a drive-by, a walk-by, or even just you driving up and getting into your home. Mm-hmm. But you know that there's certain things in your yard that you probably haven't done that you need to do.
Yeah.
And like really only you know about it. And you, if you do it, like it'll actually make your house look better and yeah. part of these landscape look better. And it's like a grueling, not like grueling, but it's like mundane.
Yeah.
And it might take you 30, 40 minutes, whatever. And you might be the only one that notices it. But like to you, does that matter?
Yeah.
Like when you look out at your yard, mm-hmm. like yeah. it matters. Like it you know what you just did.
Yeah.
And no one else will be able to see it. Like last night I did some stuff in the garden and I asked Ella to go look and see if she noticed anything. And there was like, if she could kind of tell, mm-hmm. she couldn't tell exactly what I did, but she could tell a difference. But for me, I saw a huge difference yeah. and it mattered a lot.
And in the opposite, like it weighs on you. Like, I don't know about you, but like, oh, if I haven't done a certain thing, like, yeah, the yard looks fine. Someone walked over, they probably wouldn't notice. But for me, it's just like, there's a weight because I haven't done it. And I know right. I ought to have done it.
There was like, yeah. And parts are just like hidden leaves that, you know, when they get like wet and soggy and they're just like hidden underneath bushes that I needed to clear out. Mm-hmm. And like, you can barely even tell, but like it means.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. But I was just like doing this work. And I don't know why, again, like Christian imagination and Christian inspiration, it just like made me think of like, you're making fun of me the other day about how I could just see like a bird hit a window and be like, think about like
yeah.
how that relates to spiritual life. But follow me here. Mm-hmm. When you have your big conversions, or your big grace moments in your life, it's like mowing the lawn. Mm-hmm. There's a drastic change and it does matter. It looks good and it makes you feel better. And it makes you feel like you have something there that you can enjoy and that you can work towards. But you realize that once you enter that life, a lot of your journey in like state or journey of perfection, really trying to become perfect
yeah.
as God has called us to be, a lot of it's doing that little work, cleaning the leaves out underneath the bushes, that you're the only one that really knows those things that are deep down. You know, those problems that you're working with, the temptation that you have to like gossip, the temptation you have maybe to protect your good name, like in a prideful way, mm-hmm. like some of these like things that you don't know me to maybe bring up every day. Those are some of those hidden battles that no one really maybe knows that you're going through, but that will drastically change even just the outlook of who you are and how mm-hmm. you treat people.
Absolutely.
You have thoughts on that so far?
I like that. I like that a lot.
Okay. Well, that's really all I have. But no, but it's funny that like a lot of our journey that we don't want to do is picking those weeds in the back corner of working through that vice that might seem small to other people or mm-hmm. small within you, but is like necessary for you to work through in that prayer life mm. so that like maybe I think people will notice it, but they wouldn't be able to pinpoint it.
Right.
Like you're the only one that really knows that interior battle and that interior glory that you now have through yeah. this redemption in Christ in the small act.
And I think, again, I hate to take it back to the negative way, but like those things that you don't do or you keep putting off, or if you think of the vices you allow to continue to fester, like, again, they do prevent you from progressing in the spiritual life and becoming perfected, like you said. And so like same thing with the yard, like everything is time consuming to do. So if you keep putting something off, it's just going to get worse. And it's mm-hmm. that weight's going to keep, you know, kind of bearing down on you. And then it's going to end up like, then it's like, I don't have time to cut the lawn today. I've got, you know, I've got to do this. And then just like, then you're behind in that mm-hmm. yard work. You never feel like you've caught up. And those types of things, they kind of like snowball, you know? Yeah. And so it is like, it's amazing how those small battles that maybe no one else would notice, but how that can kind of like the light becomes greater. I mean, you become that much more of a light of what is good in the world when you are kind of sorting those smaller interior battles out.
Cause if you keep at these little 30-minute projects, you're able to consistently keep mowing mm-hmm. to make your lawn, like to keep those promises you've already made and the grace that you've already kind of like received there mm-hmm. and just like the joy that you've already experienced. Like you've already made your way on this journey. You can keep mowing. You can keep like this joy that's emanating maybe from you, but also like it's easier to sustain. Like you said, you're not getting behind where you're just mowing. Cause I've gotten to that point before, yeah. right? Like we're in that cycle of like,
just do the bare minimum.
You're doing the bare minimum to just like keep there and like keep this Christian, hopefully a Christian
mindset. So nobody calls the city on me.
Right.
And I think you get to appreciate the bigger picture more when that stuff is taken care of, right? Like you get to sit on your back deck and kind of not just like bask in the glory that is your yard in kind of like this arrogant way, but to just to like to rest. It's easier to rest when those things are taken care of, when they're not constantly eating away at you. So too in the spiritual, like it's easier to rest. Like when we talk, when students come and talk to us about like, how do I start in prayer? Like a lot of the big thing is kind of getting sin out of their lives, because it's very difficult to rest before God in the sacrament or in prayer when you're constantly being bit at by these things that are like, they're tearing you down. Some of the things are outside of their control. Some of them are in their control. And that's like why it's good to like go to confession, meet with someone and to try to rid your life of these big things. So then you can start working towards the smaller ones.
And some of you, like the prayer life, like you said, is it does take some work and some effort. And some of that is doing some of that yard work. So then you can rest. Like you have to do the work sometimes in your prayer life to get to a point where you can rest in your prayer life.
Yeah. And we talked about that when we talked about like recreation. Mm-hmm. We talked about Joseph Pieper's book and how like, yeah, in order to like really appreciate those moments of rest and you can't be overwhelmed by the work that's been undone.
I think, again, it's another call to like commit to prayer and commit to some type of self-awareness and reflection, because you're not going to do the little things if you never take the time to like understand that you have those little things. Because I think we go along in our life a lot of times with that drive-by view of a house where like, okay, at least the lawn's mowed, where we're not like stepping back and reflecting that we do have a lot of like little corners of our soul, like that are like holding us back from like being so much more life-giving and fruitful and like beautiful.
Yeah. Or I can get drawn to a house that isn't ours that, you know, like I'll never get that. I'll never have that. When in reality, like we can
check out their backyard. Am I right?
But like to take ownership and pride of the beauty that exists within our own and what we have and what we can be and what we're all called to.
Inspires people to like get their lawn in order, but not like in a keep up with the Joneses, but also like an inspire, like I want to be like them. Am I right? See, look how we just put all that together. But basically the theme of today was Christian imagination. I thought that was like, that's how, for me at least, like that's how I come up with a lot of these ideas. It's just like, use your inspiration, your imagination, the gifts that God has given you to be able to reflect on things and thoughtfully reflect on things.
And to appreciate the depth of each moment and what an opportunity it is to be with and recognize the Creator and what He's done.
And that's why, dude, I felt so old, because I found myself just appreciating the depth of the moment of me looking at these roses. And that's like when I felt ancient. And I'm like, how do I express this in a way that doesn't make me sound
not ancient? Wise.
Okay, wise. Yeah, we do have older listeners. Any shout outs?
I'm just going to shout out Mark and Janet, parents. Nice. But also Kathy McFadden. Saw her at Daily Mass today.
Oh, nice.
With the girls at St. Pat's. So, Kathy, nice. Love you and your whole family.
Shout out to all the people in my life, these gardeners. My grandpa was a gardener. My parents are really into it. And I never took advantage of that as a kid. Grandma grew up on a farm. All these, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I feel like I've inherited this thing that like so many people have done and found like joy from. So shout out to all of you who have like, I guess for me, subconsciously passed it on to me.
See, now it makes sense.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, if you're looking for someone to water your yard, you know who to call.
Yeah, seriously. All right. For the kingdom.
For the kingdom.